Right. Well, good evening. It is good to be with you and learn to know a new group of people. I don't think I know many faces here at all, and I guess that's good. That way I can say things, and if it's not accurate in my own life, you'll never know it. No. I will say in the beginning, as we start our topic or look into this topic, I was talking to a brother outside prior, and he said, are you going to come down on us on things like, or something like that? In a fun way, we were joking about it a bit. And I said, well, you know, you don't know where I'm at, and I don't know where you're at, so we're safe here. But it was an area as I studied that I need to evaluate my own life. I know there wasn't a lot of introduction to myself and or the topic. So the introduction to my wife, Benita, and I, our family is involved in agriculture, grew up on a family farm and interacting with a family business. The family business is Stevens Feed Mill, co-owner at Stevens Feed Mill. And also we do have an active farm. We have hogs that we raise, sow operation as well. We live in the Adamstown, Bowmansville area. Church affiliation is a Keystone Church. Home congregation is Faith Mennonite Fellowship. Recently, the Faith Mennonite Fellowship group started an outreach on the outskirts of Reading in a small little community called Wyomissing. We did go with that church plant, part of the leadership team there with the new church plant in Wyomissing. So very excited. That is just a little over half a year old, that church plant startup, and it's been exciting to see already what God is doing as we branch out and show God's light and love in a new community. Our first summer Bible school is 2 weeks from today, so we're really excited to see what opportunity that gives us to interact with the community there. As far as introduction for the topic, I want to move into practical areas, but I didn't necessarily put an outline together. I don't know exactly how summer Bible school functions here, how much interaction, so I don't like to put myself on a specific deadline or goal through each evening. I have goals and objectives, how far we get. At the same time, as we move into the more practical areas, if there is interaction, I don't want to slow that down either or squelch that. So we will move through the topic. We're going to lay a foundation first two nights and then probably move into some more practical areas moving forward later into the week. So I think the only thing, I'm not sure, is you know it's something about time. Is that right? It's about all you know, correct? Yeah. So it is about our use of time and how God would have us use time. Before I begin on the presentation or bring anything up, think about the word time. Or when you think about time, sometimes we use time is what? What do we say? Time is money, right? Time is money. I guessed it right. I thought that's what you were going to say. Time is money. Time equals money. When we say is, it somewhat is insinuating that it is equal to money, or it has some kind of valuation based on money. So the question that begs then, is the statement, time is money, is it true? Or in what ways is that true? And in what ways is that false? I could say or come up with some reasons why I would say time is equal to money, or it has a monetary valuation associated with it. On other ways, we would say time and money are not at all alike in some regards. So time is money, or time is equal to money. For those of us that are occupied in a job, and I'm curious, how many of you are working as an employee? Just a quick raise of hands. Okay, how many of you self-employed? And any on the farm? A few of us, okay, very good. We just work all the time, or we can have off whenever we want, I guess they think, right? So time is money. So when we think about our work, there is a value assigned to our time. Your employer agrees to pay you X amount of dollars per hour. And then occasionally we need to use an attorney or some other legal accounting professional, and they have a different idea of what an hour of time is worth. Quite a different one. And we say, really, how can your time be worth that much? So time is money in that regard. But time is very different than money as well. It has its similarities, but it is also different. If you work hard enough or make enough effort, become associated in the right spaces, you can usually learn or acquire more money. But in the other regard, time is kind of a great equalizer. You know, there are folks in this congregation, again, I said I don't know you, who have different financial statuses. You're at different places financially, whatever reasons that may be. But when it comes to time, you all have exactly the same amount of time to be used next week. It is the great equalizer, if you want to call it that. Time is the same for all. And we'll get into other aspects of time and money. But we often do make this association with time and money, and I'd like to just think about that a little bit more here in introduction. So we say time or money. Maybe another question. Would you rather have more time or more money? And I think if we would raise our hand, like just in an on, like your first response to that, do you see the need for more time or more money? And I was thinking about this, and I don't know, I'm not going to close eyes and raise hands or make you raise your hand now and say, and this isn't a spiritually right or wrong question necessarily at this point. It's just that we find ourselves at different places in life. I can think back of a time when we had just moved on to the farm. We had purchased the farm. We actually bought the farm prior, along with my father's help, prior to getting married. And so we had an agreement with my father to take care of the farming operation and the financial responsibility to him. But everything else, the operations, was all my responsibility. And I remember very early on in our marriage, I got to places where I was so determined not to ask Dad for more money for simple things like supplies for the farm or groceries or anything like that. It was just like tight. We just started out farming day one. And I remember those times. And at that point, I would say, well, I had enough of time on my hand, but I needed more money, or more money would have helped the situation at hand. So it may be age related, it may have other implications, but I think in a large part, it does have to do with where we are in life. And there are certain segments in life, young children, children in school, all of that. We say money would, you know, be nice to have more money. But ultimately, when we look at it, time is very valuable. So which is more valuable? And we kind of just wrestled that in our own minds. We may, in some situations, think that we would see time or money as more valuable. An entrepreneur, Jim Rohn, says this: time is more valuable than money. You can get more money, but you cannot get more time. So he makes the argument or the statement that time is more valuable than money. And I think we would all agree you can't buy time. And some of us have had experiences with close relatives or family where they've terminal illness. And you know, I know in those situations, sometimes it would be like, oh, it'd be such a blessing if they could stay until maybe a grandchild is born, or be here until a wedding occurs. And it doesn't always happen, but you know, if we were in control of time, we would buy that time for them so they could be there for that event. And in those different situations, we realize that we can't buy time. It's a gift from God, and He grants it to us. It's a gift from God, and we'll come back to that as we move along. Kind of moving on with the same theme here, which is more valuable. Time is a precious resource. It's limited and it cannot be replenished. And I was thinking about this a little bit in the idea of time as a commodity. Time as a resource here is the word, and it is a precious resource. Time as a commodity. So commodities, if you think about, let's just take a commodity like corn, for those of us who know about corn. Corn is valued, or it is a value is placed on it, actually on a daily basis or a minute-by-minute basis, on various factors. But a lot of that comes back to supply and demand for a commodity. What is the demand? And think about this in relation to time as well. What is the demand? We want time. We need time. There's a lot of demand for time. And when we think about the preciousness of this resource or this commodity, its value is in that it's limited. We can't add 3 hours to the week. Recently, there was a situation with our business and an acquisition that occurred, and we came to the end of the month, and there was a lot of extra transactions that needed to occur. And it was one of these moments where you realize that time was of the essence. You had a specific deadline last Friday night. I think it was Friday night. Yeah, the end of the month was coming, and we only had till midnight to get all those processes done that we needed to do. And when you have that, you're thinking, wow, if we could just take a little break here in the middle of a hard day and come back and buy a few hours and just push that deadline forward. But it wasn't a possibility. We knew that by the time all the computer systems roll forward, it was going to just be easier to meet that deadline or try to meet that deadline. And we did. I won't tell you by, not by a lot, but we met it. And everything was done in time. But in that case, you know, we would have paid to get extra time. But it wasn't. We couldn't go out and say, oh, we're just going to buy an extra hour. And then the last phrase there, it is essential to use our time wisely and make the most of it. So which do you value most? Time or money? And this is an introduction. I want to just challenge us a little bit with this, because I was thinking about this idea of talking about time or even spending a week. I don't know what you're thinking as we begin a week talking about our time, our use of time. You may say, well, why spend a whole week thinking about our use of time? What if we had a week, our seminar on finance, our use of finance? We're kind of used to that. We do that in our communities. We talk about these type of things, financial stability. We're interested in our financial situation. Are we equally concerned about the other resource, a more important resource in some regards, our time? And are we even in tune to that? Are we measuring that? Are we quantifying our use in any way at all? We do financially. So I have the question then, which are you spending more carefully? I know, I could almost guarantee, maybe one of you spouses aren't, but at least one of you, if you're married here this evening, one of you have a pretty good idea of your financial situation. Somebody balances the checkbook or keeps a good checkbook. Now, left in the hands to one or the other, it may not be so, but at least usually in a relationship, there's one person that's tracking your monetary transactions. You're knowing where you're at. We track and are very alert to where our financial situation is. We want to know where we're at. We want to make sure that we're using our money wisely. As we think about the detail, especially if you are self-employed and you maybe have a business, the detail that you go in to track the financial status of that, I would ask you, in what way, or can you identify a way in which you're thinking of time any way similar, any way of measuring, evaluating, analyzing, monitoring how you're spending time or using your time? You know, when it comes to finances, we want to know that. We want to be alert, but we just are kind of establishing here that time and money are both things that we're given. They're gifts from God, and they're equal in some ways. But as we look at time, there is a good indication that time has value equal to or greater than money. And yet we don't really monitor, measure, track, or think about our use of time. We are not going to go just to take a time out here, no pun intended, a time out. We're not necessarily going to go into this detailed things like you may get at a business seminar about specific time management or those type of things. Rather, look at biblical principles. Think about it. We will talk about, as we move into the week, more specific areas where we may have faced challenges with our use of time or where God may be calling us to make changes. We will look at that. But not just this idea of, well, creating more time to be more successful and all of that. Rather, thinking about our time from God's perspective. So I used that word spending, and I did that in my notes. And as I typed it, I wasn't quite sure how are you spending your time. And as I used the word spending, I wasn't quite sure if I liked it. Because as we think about the seriousness of this subject, or our use of time, and the idea of the word spending, and then I came across this quote from Dr. Neville Speer of Western Kentucky University, and he says this, and it's interesting. I'd like us to think about this, because it comes back and ties to this idea of how we look at money and how we look at time. Money we want to invest, time we just use or spend. And it's this casualness that in this word spending or using and money investing. So I like his statement here. It is not about how you spend your time, but more importantly, how you are investing your time. If we sit back and think about it, spending versus investing your time have very different meanings and implications. So that's very profound statement there. Spending versus investing your time have very different meanings and implications. So now we move from this idea, this financial concept of money, and we looking at time. As we look at our time, we're saying it is more like money in this regard, in the way we ought to be seeing it, in the way God sees and understands our time. And this word investing seems to make a lot of sense to me. So this is foundational to where we are going for our first principle here this evening that we want to look at. So we are thinking about this money-time association. We're evaluating the importance, the value of our time, and we're saying we need to be investing our time. What biblical principle should we be starting with? What biblical principle? With the groundwork that was laid, what does someone want to venture? You're not going to be wrong. We just discussed these things. I'm just doing this to check if I was right, and your idea might be better. But this is when I went through this process and I arrived at this point in studying through this, transitioning from spending or using our time to this idea of investing our time, there was a biblical principle or idea, biblical concept that I'd like to start with this evening. If you want to guess, that's fine. If not, I'll push the button. Stewardship. It is stewardship. Exactly. Very good. Excellent. So at least two of us agree. Great. Stewardship. How are you investing your time? And I want to think about stewardship and, again, how we view this. Stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted into one's care. And very basic, straightforward, Webster's definition of time. It is of stewardship, the idea of stewardship, being entrusted into our care and also responsible management of. But when you think of stewardship, though, we often do think of stewardship and finance. You can open your Bibles. Familiar passage. As you do that, just one more definition here on Christian stewardship to Matthew 25. And we'll start reading in verse 14 then, a very familiar story. But I'd like to pull some points about stewardship here and make application to our time and resource. Second definition, Christian stewardship refers to the responsibility that Christians have in maintaining and using wisely the gifts that God has bestowed. So what God has given us, and we just said time is a gift from God. We established it earlier when we talked about, you know, when we come to the end of life, we realize we can't do anything to change it. Our life, our very life, is a gift from God. He gives us each day as a gift, and we're responsible to Him for how we use that. And that is what is stated here in this story as well. I know it's familiar, but again, it's a very practical story that helps us in thinking about this biblical concept of stewardship. So we're in Matthew 25. We're going to read verses 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he also that had received 2 talents and said, Lord, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath been given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So again, a familiar story. We know the implications here. The fact that talents were given, they were, first of all, entrusted into their care. And we have this time. God entrusts to us life. He gives us time. He entrusts it into our care. And the first principle of stewardship is God takes something and he says, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving to you and you're responsible. Second thing, responsibility comes with stewardship. So we are entrusted, care of, we're entrusted, we're given this gift of time. It's handed over to us. And then we are called to this level of responsibility. It does matter what we're doing. We are responsible. We think about this often with money, and we go down this trail. But with time, when have you ever talked to someone that used stewardship and time together? Thank you very much. Thank you, brother, for that. I had eyed the landscape, and I didn't see it, and I was questioning if I'm going to make it through, so thank you. So we're given this time, and then we're to use it responsibly. Third thing that I'd like to think about as we think about our call to be stewards is positive results. When he came back, that was clear in the passage. There was a result or a gain or a use of the time that was expected when proper use. The talent, because it was financial here in this situation, it's easy to measure. Time isn't always so easy to measure. But still, we talked about it as investing our time. God gives this to us. How we use it, where is it benefiting God's kingdom? Are we even giving thought to a return on the time? And we'll break into this further throughout the week. But just keep that in mind. We are stewardships, and there is a growth or a positive result, more that we're to do with our time. We're given an hour, but make more of that hour. You're given life. Just don't haphazardly spend it. God, I became so good at, and what is it that you're going to say with my time? Oh, I just really grew your time. The gift that you gave me of time, Lord, I just, every free moment I had, I took it and did, what would we say? And we'll think about that a little more deeply later. And this, as a last and final fourth point here on stewardship, as stewards, there is a point in time, and it's very clear here in verse 26, well, 19, it says that he reckoned with. In other words, he gave an account. That's kind of this idea of looking for that return in verse 19. And then verse 26, it says that there was a damnation or a judgment placed on the servant who was not using the talent well. We will be held accountable for our use of time. If it is a talent, if it's a gift, if it's something that God entrusts to our care, we will be held accountable for its use. We do think about this. We think about our speech, and we say we're going to give an account for every word. We think about our finances. Again, we say we're going to give an account. And I'm encouraging us to think about our time. We are going to give an account. We are stewards, and God has entrusted this time into our hands. Here's something interesting. I sometimes like to get concepts. We know it's biblical truth, but sometimes other men discover biblical truth as well. And this is interesting. This is a philosopher, not necessarily, but it is something for us to think about in our culture. And I know you can all read, but just in case you're having trouble seeing it there, the philosopher Seneca says this: we are tight-fisted with property and money, yet we think too loosely, we think too little of wasting time. The one thing about which we should be the toughest misers. So when you think about money, I'm sure you all know somebody that's probably a little tight with money, or you can kind of, you think of that word miser, we often go to finance. And here it's saying the thing that we should be the toughest misers with is our time. So it is true. It's true for me. I want to measure things like money and understand where we're at, what our growth is, how we should be using it. Are we advancing the kingdom? What is our plan for giving and all of those things? What percentage of your time is God's time? Are you thinking about tithing with time? Here's a different one. This is from Wall Street team, a Wall Street team that writes some diverse things, but it is interesting how they identify our culture and how we are acting with our time. We have seen the differences. This is the conclusion of an article that's talking about the relationship time and money. I didn't think they had everything accurate in that article. Plus, you didn't want to read the entirety of the article. But there are some interesting things in these concluding comments that bring to light some of our challenges, and I think in the world, but even in the church as well. We have seen the differences between time and money. Time and money are valuable. However, individuals generally do not value time much and let it waste. In a materialistic world, more value is given to money. Therefore, one should know the value of time and money and which one should be valued in various circumstances. That last phrase, I'm not sure what you're doing, what you would do with that, but we could think about that quite a bit. There are different circumstances, and you can probably think of them as well. Probably should look at this part of the congregation more. Us as men sometimes are guilty of this, where we think of certain circumstances, we value money over time. We should pray for godly wisdom, that we would know when and how time comes first. Is that time with family, time in ministry, time with others, time taking time in your daily work to minister to those you come in contact with? Or is it money first, use of time second? We've been guilty of that, where we said it's the extra hours that are more important, and we forfeit, or we take time that could have been used better, potentially. Sometimes we need to stop and evaluate. All right, so that's a little bit of introduction, bringing us to think seriously about time and stewardship of time. I would like to just go through the next few slides, talk a little bit about where we're going this week, and then introduce our theme verse. I'm going to actually look at the entire psalm in which our theme verse comes from. So let's just look a little bit of where we're going, and it'll help get your mind thinking. So tomorrow night, we may start in with this a little bit. Probably won't have time tonight. Didn't expect to. So a proper perspective on time. Today in mind of eternity. So tomorrow night, we're going to think about today. My activities in mind of eternity. And won't say more about that. And then talk about some personal time. What is this thing of me time or my time? You hear that phrase some. Things I most enjoy. Personal time. And it isn't all wrong, but we're going to talk about some balance here in these areas. And then, Lord willing, we're going to move into an area where we all face time challenge in one degree or another. I don't know specifically your covenant standards and what type of access you have to technology and so forth. But I think for most of us, we'd be putting our heads in the sand if we don't realize that technology has impacted our use of time. And we're going to look at that as well. You can open your Bibles to Psalms 90. Psalm 90. We're going to look at our theme verse yet this evening here. Take a few thoughts from it. Our theme verse is Psalm 90, verse 12. And basically, verses 1 through 11 talk a lot about the brevity of life or the shortness of life, which we've alluded to earlier. And then there's something very profound here in verse 12 that we want to talk about. Psalm 90, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through the end, 17. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, forever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our infirmities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servant. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein thou hast seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. A lot could be brought out of this passage. We're just going to look here at verse 12. So, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In this verse, you read it, and there's kind of two parts to it. You see the first part of teaching us to number our days, but then you also, the second part, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The NIV uses this phrase, we may gain a heart of wisdom. What struck me as I studied this verse, we're supposed to go through this activity or this process of numbering our days. Think about how long life is. This brevity of life that was all spelled out, but we're not just supposed to count them up and say, oh, wow, I'm 50 already and I only have, 20, 30 years that way. Yeah, we should teach us to number our days. Think about how short life is. But it has to have a result. It should do something in our lives that we may, in the King James Version here, it says, apply our hearts to wisdom or unto wisdom, making wise choices or applying our lives, changing what we do. It will impact the way I live when I think about the brevity of life. The NIV says that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, I really like that, gain a wise heart. When you think of wisdom, we think of the idea of wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is more in the head. And then we see wisdom kind of impacting. Wisdom is knowledge that transforms into action or impacts who we are. But this idea of tying wisdom to our heart, that's not done as often in Scripture. It is done other places in Scripture, but the idea of a heart of wisdom. So what does the word heart mean or in this context? I was thinking about it, and as I studied, the idea of our heart is our passion, our desires, our drive, our focus, that we may have a wise focus, a wise drive. As I think about time and my life, I find it important to stop and evaluate from time to time. And that's what I'd like to do the rest of the week as we go through. We're going to educate, we're going to study, we're going to study Scripture, we're going to look at principles. We looked at the principle of stewardship, we laid the groundwork this evening. We're going to look at other principles that apply. Then I challenge us as we go through our looking at these various areas more specifically in our own lives, to evaluate first. Take the time to just look seriously at it. Go back to your checkbook. Every now and then you just like to go back through and see, okay, where did that all go? Maybe we're asking, how did it get so high or how did it get so low? We like to go back. We evaluate. How did we get here? We do that with our lives and the use of time. Be honest, evaluate as we get to these more specific areas. Go home and think about what are the areas where God spoke to us. Also, I might have a few worksheets along the way for you to help you in doing that. So we need to recognize and analyze. You know, we're pretty good at that. I can usually leave a service or instructions and say, you know what, that's something good. We might do it to our farm. We may go to a farm meeting and we say, we'll go home, and that would be great. That I believe our somatic cell count would go down if we did this. And it's great at the meeting, we think about it. But then the next morning you wake up at 4 or 4:30 and that extra step, and you're like, well, somatic cell count's not that bad. We'll just let it go. And that's this third and final area, applying. And I think that same thing is in our Christian walk. It's human nature. We tend to know the truth. We get educated. We can even evaluate. We can look at it and we can say, in our lives, this is an area where I could do better. We'll just leapfrog just for a few seconds front to the area of technology. When we get there, there'll probably be, for any of us that have technology that's close to us, there's going to be an area where we're going to say when we get to that, you know what, I could make some changes here and they would be beneficial. I know I could make some changes. But then the next evening when you're on the couch at home and you have some free time, which we just talked about how valuable time is, are you going to apply? So my encouragement is for us to also apply. Just a song here. I didn't hear a bell necessarily ring, but it's ringing, I guess, here. Our time to close is right in the next 5 minutes. Is that right? I think so. All right. The song that I thought of here, it's familiar. There might be parts of it that are a bit shallow, but particularly as I thought about the use of time and how quickly it passes, this idea that we saw in Psalm 90 this evening, hold tight to the sound of the music of living, happy songs of the laughter of children at play. Hold my hand as we run through the sweet, fragrant meadows, making memories of what was today. We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. Tiny voice that I hear is my little girl calling for her daddy to hear just what she has to say. And my little son running there by the hillside may never be quite like today. Tender words, gentle touch, a good cup of coffee, and someone who loves me and wants me to stay. Hold them near while they're dear, and don't wait for tomorrow to look back and wish for today. We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. So I encourage us as we think about the time that God has entrusted to value it, recognize it as a limited resource, and pray that as we go through now some practical areas in our use of time, that we allow God to change our hearts, to give us a wise heart in our passions, our desires, and we can, when the Master comes and says, it's time for you to give an account for how you've used this gift, your life, for my glory, and we can do so with joy, knowing that we've given our best to our Lord and Savior for what he's done for us. Tomorrow night, we will start with today in mind of eternity, and you can think about a little bit what that means as you go away this evening. Let's just pause for a word of prayer and close.